Hello, guys. Welcome back. This is episode 7.5 of A&A MMA. We're going to call it that because our good friend Slim is enjoying a concert that I wish I was at. One of my favorite artists of all time, Travis Scott. So I hope Slim's having a very good time right now. We got a very special guest in the building, my man Mikey Tell, a freelance filmmaker. Very good childhood friend.
Hello, what's hello. Up? How's it going?
You know, podcasting and stuff. How are you?
Good, good. Tired.
Good, yeah, I know. We've already been through so much and we haven't even started podcasting yet.
We'll retouch.
But yeah, a silently eventful week in MMA. We had actually a really big thing going on with Bellator. 179 happened, and that was one of the biggest events ever in the history of Bellator. It actually had a title fight on it, and that had also had Rory McDonald making his Bellator debut against Paul Daly, who is also a UFC alumni. It was a crazy fight. Ended up Rory McDonald ended up getting behind Paul Daly and choking him out in the second round. So that was a really impressive debut for Rory. He's still one of the best in the world. Paul Daly ended up, after the event, calling out one of my favorite fighters right now, Michael Venom Page. And it ended up getting a little bit physical outside of the ring.
Really?
Paul Daly called him out in the post-interview. And immediately after leaving the ring, went towards Michael Page. And those two had to be broken up. And it escalated a little bit from there. So Michael Page just pulled out. He was supposed to be on that card. He ended up pulling out because of an injury. So I don't know. We'll see. Paul Daly lost, so that might be a good next fight for him. We'll see. Also in MMA news, UFC 211's prelims had the best sells of all time, most views of all time. They had 1,004,800 views.
Nice.
Does that sound right? 400,000.
1.4 million.
It was like 4,080. My bad. 4,000. I don't know. 1 million. Yeah, something like that. It was a lot of views. I'm trying to find the clip, but anyways, they ended up doing really good. And the thing about that is that was the first time they were ever on FX and not on FS1. So okay. I don't know if that might be a thing they might start doing now.
Stepping up to the big network.
I didn't know that. I thought FS1 was doing really good numbers, and then out of nowhere, they start doing FX, and they do great numbers right away. So, I don't know. Be on the lookout for that. They might be showing UFC on FX a little bit more. In other news, Conor and Floyd might be going down. What do you think about that, Mikey? Does that intrigue you? Would you watch that?
I would watch that if I had time. Like if I'm off that time, oh hell yeah,
definitely
I'll
buying it.
I'll buy it.
Yeah. So Conor is making a lot of moves actually to get himself ready to be able to fight in a boxing setting. He got all his licenses, and he just signed the contract, basically telling Floyd Mayweather, you know, it's on the table now. All Floyd has to do is sign, and the fight's on the go. So
that'd be interesting. It'd cut his moves in half because he couldn't do half the MMA moves in boxing, right? Like, aren't there restrictions?
It's straight hands. I mean, that's the thing, because if they step anywhere outside of those boundaries, Floyd Mayweather will get absolutely destroyed. But Conor's going into Floyd's court, you know, and I think it'll be interesting. I don't think Floyd's going to knock Conor out or anything, but I do think it's going to be a very decisive victory. I don't know. I'm willing to buy it and watch it, that's for sure.
It's also great marketing on their part. They're bringing two huge fandoms together.
They've been doing great so far. And, the whole MMA and
the boxing.
Yeah, it'll be a great mixture. I think it'll be great for both sports. I think it'll probably be maybe the best-selling fight of all time. Who knows?
Possibly.
Floyd, please sign that dotted line. Make that money, man. That's what you're about. Let's see it. I'm ready. So the UFC had a retreat for its fighters, and they all got to go to Las Vegas and have like a little fighters summit. All 300 and whatever fighters on the roster got to go to Las Vegas and enjoy themselves. But of course, when you end up bringing a bunch of fighters in one place, especially Las Vegas,
obviously,
what's gonna happen? Somebody's gonna end up getting smacked in their face. So, women's pioneer fighting legend Chris Cyborg, one of the scariest women I've ever seen. Angela Magana, who I've never even watched her fight. Apparently, they've been sending some tweets back and forth and ended up meeting each other at this UFC summit and exchanged a couple words. And Cyborg said, "I'm not playing that," and walked straight up to her and punched her straight in her shit, straight like that. So, wow. I don't... Like, the thing about that is, like, I know, like, they use this stuff to, like, hype up fights a lot, but, like, this was not, like, a fighting setting, so I don't know if she might actually face some real, like, suspension or something for doing that, but I don't know. She's a fighter, and, I mean, maybe they'll just be like, yeah, that's what they do. I don't know. We'll see. I'm just... surprised that they let that happen. Like, where was security? They said it was a lightly secured place. Why are you just gonna lightly secure a place where 30 fighter or 300 fighters are in one spot? I mean, yeah. But anyways, in one of our previous episodes, I talked about in Japan. We just watched a Japanese wrestler with Sean, but Japan's a really weird place. They do a lot of weird things in the fighting world.
Every world?
Yeah. Japan definitely puts out some weird content out there in the world. In one of our previous episodes, we discussed there was a 12-year-old. Her name is Momo. That's her straight name, like that.
All right.
She is a 12-year-old fighting a 24-year-old in a promotion in Japan. So, I mean, you know, you think you'd give the advantage to the 24-year-old. Nah. Momo got straight behind, what's this chick's name? Momoko Yamazaki fighting. Okay, so Momo fought Momoko. Apparently they're running out of names here in Japan. Momo got right behind Momoko Yamazaki in the 95-pound minimum weight division. And tapped her out with a rear naked choke in the first round. Wow. Now, okay, if you get tapped out by a 12-year-old, it's just... fighting's probably not your thing, honestly. I mean...
they're fast, though. They're like, they're little. They can go between legs easy.
And also, if you're 24 years old and you weigh 95 pounds...
you've got issues.
I mean, start... you have a disease. Ride horses or something. Like, make a career switch.
She's just pissed off. Her name's Momo. That's why she's kicking all these people's ass.
Right.
Constantly pissed.
Only has one name. She's Momo. Congrats to her, though. Shout out to you for being 12 years old with one and oh amateur record over a 24-year-old. You rock, little girl. Hell yeah. Good for you. So current champion, Tyron Woodley. He apparently said that he prefers to fight George St. Pierre or Nick Diaz over Damian Maia, which obviously Damian Maia is one of his tougher matchups, and GSP and Nick Diaz will be bringing in a lot of money. So I do agree with Tyron from that aspect, but I do think Maya does deserve the title shot out of all those guys, so we'll see what happens with that. I really hope GSP does need to fight soon. He can't keep putting it off, so also, speaking of GSP, since he won't be fighting Mr. Bitchping, yeah. He is saying also that he wants to fight GSP. So everybody wants to fight GSP for the obvious reason he's going to be bringing in the money. But the thing with Bisping is that's over. He can go ahead and say he wants GSP all he wants. That fight's off.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. He has to fight Romero. He needs to stop saying he doesn't want to fight Yoel Romero because it's over. You have to fight him now. Get used to it. Be ready. Stop using this injury as a thing, because now the UFC is going to hand out another stupid interim title that nobody wants to see. Everybody's over the interim titles. Bisping, step up to the plate. Fight Yoel Romero. Give it to everybody. That's what we've been waiting for. I'm over this drama. This is like the longest saga in UFC history, man. I'm so over it. Anyways, on a lighter note, Frankie Edgar, one of the, in my opinions, one of the greatest of all time. He wants to fight the winner of Jose Aldo and Max Holloway, which he deserves. But the thing about that is he's already fought Jose Aldo twice and lost to him twice. So that fight kind of doesn't have too much appeal to it. But if you're the top contender and you've earned your title shot, go for it, man. So, yeah. We'll see what happens with that. And also, I need to find this article real fast, because this is one of the more interesting things I've seen in a while. You got anything to talk about real quick, Mikey? What's the last UFC fight you watched?
Ah, shit. It's like 2 years ago.
Who'd you see?
It's been a while. I don't even remember, honestly.
You just went to a bar and it was happening right there. You're like,
yeah. Nah, I went over to my mom's, because my stepdad takes the UFC fights. He gets them every time.
Okay.
He has a bunch of people over.
That's cool.
But I was working at the time, and I got off of work, and I went straight over there, and I ended up like falling asleep halfway through, and I was like, fuck.
But you do got the MMA going on in the family. That's cool. Shout out to your stepdad for keeping up to date on the MMA world. You should tell him to listen to our podcast. We need more listeners. We're actually last on the podcast list. Yeah, we do suck. It's okay. We're just here doing it for the love of the sport and you guys, our loyal 50 listeners, and you other 40 people who accidentally clicked our shit thinking you were about to talk to somebody else. Okay, now about this article I was finding. This is by Stephen Rondinda of the Bleacher Report. So, California is implementing some new rules. The California State Athletic Commission passed a 10-point plan of new regulations over weight cutting, which is a really big issue in the sport, obviously. We had Khabib freaking almost die a couple months ago trying to cut weight.
Seriously? Jesus Christ.
I mean, yeah, it was bad. He was in really bad condition. He had to go straight to the hospital. I mean,
wow.
When these guys are dehydrating themselves and cutting that much weight in so little time, I mean, it's not good for their bodies. Anyways, you can find the full list of changes on the internet, but some of the bigger points in it, fighters are now licensed by weight class. So that requires the approval of a licensing physician to compete at a specific weight or higher. So if you want to fight at a specific weight, you need to be totally checked out and approved for that weight. So you can't just freely switch whenever you feel now. It's going to be a thing where you have to go and actually take a physical pretty much to fight at the new weight. But I don't know if like you get approved once, if you can use that again and like keep moving from that. I'm not sure how that'll work, but also fighters that miss weight are fined from the show money as well as other bonuses they may receive. So if you miss weight, you're not making money at all. You might as well just scratch that. Also, they're implementing new weight classes, which me and Slim did talk about on one of our previous episodes, and I do think it's a good idea. A couple of these weight classes are kind of weird. Like 195, I think that's kind of weird. But they want to put in 165, 175, which I think is good. 195 and 225, which would be interesting. It would let some of them add another big weight class. I don't know. We'll see. I kind of like how there's light heavyweight and heavyweight. I don't know what the next one will be, but I don't know. The commission can also investigate fighters for repeatedly missing weight. So that can also, if you do keep getting caught for being at a higher weight class, like if you keep missing your weight because you weigh too much, they'll end up just telling you that you cannot, you can't even try being at this weight below. So you have a permanent weight class pretty much if you keep missing your weight. Day of fight weight checks will be implemented with a 10% increase in weight after 30 hours, potentially resulting in fighters being forced up to a higher weight class. So basically, if you keep missing your weight, you will be moved to a higher weight class, which is going to mess a lot of fighters up because they keep missing their weight, and now they're going to have to face repercussions for it. So I don't know. We'll see how all these things go. This is only in California, so I don't know if that's going to be like a thing that goes throughout all other commissions, but right now they're making changes in the weight cutting issue of MMA, and I think that's a good thing. I support that, and we'll see where they go from there. So next, I'll be giving an interview to one of my very good friends, Mikey Tell. See you guys after that.
Good morning, Lousy Weather Media!
Sergeant Scumbag!
Sir, yes, sir, Lieutenant Hefty!
What is your mission, Sergeant?
Sir, to let the hate flow through me, sir!
And how do you let the hate flow through you, Sergeant Scumbag?
Sir, by listening to a guest from the world of entertainment discussing disdain of a person, place, thing, or concept with El Hordano Diablo and Jeremy Shear, sir!
Disdain doesn't sound like hatred at all, Sergeant!
Sir, it is in fact a simile of hatred, sir!
Are you using fancy book words at me, Sergeant?
This is Colonel Jameson. You maggots, quit fighting about the damn thesaurus and let the hate flow through you every Monday on the Lousy Weather Media Network. Dismissed!
Sir, yes, sir!
Napa Know How.
There are lots of amazing cars on the road, but perhaps none more amazing than the paid-off car. It may not be pretty, but the price is right. Heck, if you keep that thing running, it'll actually start paying you. Because with Napa Rewards, for every $100 you spend, you'll get $5 off. So keep your car running longer, stronger with Napa Rewards, and watch the savings start rolling in. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
Come on.
Dude, I suck at this. All right. Welcome back, guys. A little technical difficulty. Sorry, I'm not the best technology whatsoever. Hello, our special guest, Mikey Tell. So, you want to go ahead and explain to the people what you brought for us today?
Oh, yeah. I worked on Fast 8 when it was in Cleveland for the stunts.
Yeah.
And I was on construction crew, so they were tearing out all the sets and all that. I got a logo off the dealership that's in the movie.
Yeah, so...
And I got the West Side Manhattan Motors.
Yeah, so...
Shield for y'all.
We got a little memorabilia from our good friend, Mikey Tell. So go ahead and explain what you've been doing lately, man. Tell us... But what you've been doing with your job?
Been working movies. I'm what you call a grip.
Yep.
So essentially, I'm camera support wherever it needs to go. If it goes in a car, like if you want mounted on the hood,
right?
I'm in charge of doing that.
Yeah. So you also said that you've met some really cool people through this whole process since you've gotten to work on some really big movies, which we'll get into. But yeah, who all have you gotten to meet in this whole process?
The big one was this movie I'm on now was McConaughey.
Yes,
I got to meet
the man. That's what's up. McConaughey's awesome.
Willem Dafoe, Nick Cage.
Yeah,
I have actually have a really funny story.
That's awesome.
About a fan that ran up to him. we were doing a movie called Dog Eat Dog.
Okay.
And it's with him, Willem Dafoe, and a couple other guys.
Okay.
And essentially, there's like this fan, like after a night, he was going home. My buddy was driving him home or whatever to his hotel. And like in the distance, he heard like some girl like with a sign running at him. He's like, oh shit. He's like, wait a second. Like, hold on. I want to see what she's got real quick or whatever. So like,
right.
My buddy stops or whatever, and she comes running over, and she holds up this picture that she drew. And it was Nick Cage fucking her in the ass.
Oh,
and she's like, will you please sign this? My buddy just he just started dying laughing, and my buddy just drove off. Like, just totally left.
Oh, that's awesome.
He was like,
probably like, hey, that's awesome.
It was like, where the fuck does that come from?
Straight banging her in the ass. That's some hentai rough shit right there. That's like, wow, she had a really weird fetish.
Yeah.
Good for her. I mean, I guess that takes talent to draw Nick Cage fucking you in the ass. I mean, that's off the chain.
Even knowing he's in, like, town. Like,
yeah.
Jesus.
Right. Damn. She was thirsty. Wow. Well, that's cool. What? You still can't talk about the movie you're on right now, can you? No?
I can give vague hints.
Yeah.
Depends on the question you ask me.
Let's talk about Fast 8, because that's... that's intriguing, because I'm sure working on that movie, you definitely had to be very careful with your gripping, I guess you'd call it, because you don't want to mess stuff up, so.
Yeah, it's actually all the grip spots were basically taken up, because we just went through, like, a really rough, like, dry season. Like, in the winter, like, not a lot comes in.
Gotcha.
So, like, everybody got on that, and I kind of had to go to construction.
That's cool.
I was cool with that, but, yeah, I got to meet... cause some of the construction guys on there, there's a guy by the name of Bert Rodriguez.
Okay.
And he was in charge of building a Black Pearl.
Okay.
From Pirates of the Caribbean for the second movie.
Yeah. Okay.
And they basically were like, hey, you need to build it to code, and it needs to be like workable for 4 years for filming. And he went and built this, and it's like it lasted like 15 years. Like, he built like an exceptional 2-code ship, could just go in the ocean and sail.
Damn,
lasted 12 years, and they used it in the last movie, and they finally like decommissioned
the
it.
The one that's like coming out right now?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I want to see that movie really bad, too. That's awesome, man. That's sick.
He was an interesting guy.
I'm sure he's a very creative character. That's sick, dude. So you also said that you met one of my good characters that I liked, Jimmy Steve off of Shameless.
Justin Chatwin.
Yeah, just that's cool. What other movies have you been on? What other little? I know you've been doing like some indie movies and stuff.
The first movie that I got in the union for was called The Land. It was a like coming of age skateboarding movie of a kid growing up in Cleveland in the hood.
Right,
he gets tied up in all the drugs and all that shit.
Yeah.
And on that one, I got to meet Erica Badu.
She is so dope.
She was one of the executive producers.
That is sick. Really? I didn't even know she really produced all like that.
Yeah, she helped produce it, and she actually had a character in it.
Wow.
She was like the crack addict mom of said character.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's really cool. Erica Badu is extremely dope. I like her a lot. Her music is amazing.
Yeah. So. And then also in that movie was Tig from the that FX show Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, Tig. Yeah.
Short curly hair.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He was also in it. He was pretty cool.
So that's cool. You get to meet all these people that you like see on. Mm-hmm. You kind of like get numb to it, like just like, or every time is it just like awesome seeing like a different person on a different show? You know, you're just like, that's my guy.
Yeah, I'm starting to get to the point where it's like most people are just like, yeah, it's cool, it's awesome, he's here. But like, there's like people that you don't expect to be there that usually catch you off guard, like, oh shit, like that guy. Because I was on a movie called Little Evil. It's a Netflix movie that hasn't come out yet. It's still in editing, but I had met, who was it? Losing my train of thought. Oh, it was Adam Scott. He was the lead talent in it with
from Parks and Rec.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what? That is sweet, dude. And he is hilarious.
Evangeline Lilly. She was the one of the leads in Lost. She was like the chick.
Okay, I never watched Lost, but
yeah,
I know that's a really cool show. I've heard a lot about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's sweet, dude.
So
that's
that one,
crazy, dude. That's just so crazy to just think about that. You get to just like see all these people.
Mm-hmm. And the guy that caught me off guard on that one was like Chris D'Elli was in there, and then also Donald Faison. That was the guy that was like, "Oh shit,
yeah,
it's Turk from Scrubs."
Yeah, that's sweet, man. But, so
yeah, that's really the first person that's caught me like off guard. Like, yeah, oh shit, he's here. Like, what?
What about you meeting the greatest of all time?
Who's that?
Mr. LeBron James.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Being right next to him.
Yeah, LeBron's cool. He,
LeBron's cool. LeBron's super cool.
He just, like, has no time for anything.
Right.
Like, he's on a commercial shoot. He'll show up for, like, an hour and a half, and, like, he's done. After that hour and a half, he's, like, moving on if you got the shot or not. And, like, people have come to know, like, shooting his stuff. They're just like, he's not going to stay for the full time. Yeah. It's just not going to happen. Like, we find ourselves lucky to get an hour and a half out of him.
Yeah. Taylor's, my girlfriend's little brother goes to like private schools and stuff. So he's kind of like in the private school workings. And LeBron's sons go to the school that Taylor's grandma works at. Okay. So I was there the other day actually for Taylor's little brother's. Or little sister's birthday, and got to play in a court that LeBron like built and paid for.
Nice.
It was beautiful. It was amazing. So that's good. He's doing that for, you know, his kid's school. It was funny if you look at like all the donations, because like in a school like that, there's a lot of donors.
Yeah.
Like there's like all these like people's names, all these people's names, and then like in the top it says anonymous, and I'm just thinking like, is that LeBron just sitting there pouring the money in?
Yeah.
But no, LeBron's awesome. He does a lot for foundation. He has the LeBron James Foundation, which helps a lot of kids in Akron.
Yeah, he gives back a lot.
Yeah, he actually gave me a bike when I was like 12 or something like that. I didn't get to go do the bike ride.
Yeah.
I actually sent Dakota to do that for me, but he said he never even got to see LeBron, so I guess I didn't miss much except a shitty bike ride. So but yeah, that was cool. So what else do you got going on? Anything other than working on the McConaughey movie right now? You got any other like little personal projects going on right now? Anything?
Not currently, you know. I'm just so busy with work, getting back into it now. Just after slow season, I'm just like focused. There's a movie coming to town after this one. That's there's the murder in Cleveland called the Torso Murder back in like the 1930s, like Depression era.
Wow, I've never
to where he was they never caught the guy. It's kind of like a Jack the Ripper of America.
Yeah.
Never caught the guy. He had 17 people that he had killed.
Damn, in Cleveland?
Yeah. And what he would do is he would cut the legs and arms and head off and just leave the torso in the street.
Oh shit, in the street?
Yeah.
And this man never got caught?
Never. He even like leashed one up onto a light post in the center, grimy. Like town square.
I've
like,
never heard of that.
Yeah,
I love serial killers, and I've never heard of that. That is awesome. Thanks for giving me some reading material when I go home and I'm sitting in my room alone.
I believe it's like the Elliot Ness series or something like that, because that was the guy they hired in from Detroit to try and clean up the streets and all that.
Also, Elliot Ness, Great Lakes beer, delicious. So Elliot Ness does great things. I get good beers named after him.
Yeah, you know.
Well, that's cool, man. so now like I kind of like just finding out random things that like, even though I've known you since, I don't know, how long have we known each other?
Like elementary school, first grade or something like that.
So what, how old were we in first grade? Like
seven?
Yeah, I was going to say like six, seven. So yeah, that's a freaking long time. That's like 14 years, dude.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just never find out just random ass shit. Like,
yeah.
What's your favorite video game of all time?
Of all time?
Like, what's the best video game you've ever played?
Final Fantasy X.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. That's cool. Now, since you're a filmmaker, I think this is a really cool question for you. What is the best movie of all time? In your opinion.
Now, let me ask you something before that.
Okay, there's stipulations.
Is it your personal, what you like the best, or is what you think it has the most
go
art?
Ahead and give me both. We got time.
Okay. Okay. I would think my personal favorite of all time.
See you later.
Personal favorite of all time is The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, okay.
Because I grew up watching it all the time.
Yep.
And it's got a lot of sentimental value in it.
Yeah.
But for overall, like perfectness of a film, like between the art and the flow and the framing and all that and how mm-hmm. you're capturing it, I'd have to say it would be one of the Kubrick movies.
Stanley.
Yeah.
You know, Jake Robleski is like a modern day Stanley Kubrick. I bet you didn't know that.
I did not.
Yeah. Man makes bomb films. He hasn't made one in a while, but he makes great films.
Nice.
Yeah. Just a little shout out. Jake Robleski is an indie filmmaker. Shout out to him. He's only got one tape, but it's dope.
It's a start.
It's yeah.
A start.
It's sick. But, that's cool. So, like, you know Rotten Tomatoes? Like, I'm sure Wizard of Oz is, like, ranked as one of their, like, one of the only movies to ever get, like, a 199 on Rotten Tomatoes. So
really?
That tells you how great of a movie, truly.
Classic.
Wizard of Oz is. You know what my favorite movie ever is? Space Jam.
Space Jam? Michael Jordan?
Yes.
Bugs Bunny?
Yes. Featuring the Looney Tunes. Like, how... It doesn't get much cooler than, you know, like, you got... Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley,
yeah.
Larry Bird, all in the beginning.
Bill Murray.
Chilling. And then out of nowhere comes Bill Murray, just in this like crazy world, sucked into a golf hole. Like, so cool, dude. Greatest movie
classic.
Of all time.
Love
classic. Space Jam. I used to watch it like four times. My mom said, like, on average, it was about four times a day every time I came home from school in elementary school.
Jesus.
Like, when I was a kid, so... Yeah, shout out to Space Jam.
Michael Jordan, yeah. Sponsoring the podcast.
Who's your... Yeah, right. Well, one day we'll have, like, Jordan suits. We'll be, like, sitting here, like, talking MMA in, like, some Jordan, like, sweatsuits. That'd be sick, dude. That's a goal. Mark that down on the list, Slim. Who's your favorite actor of all time?
Favorite actor of all time?
Yes.
Oddly enough, it's Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman? Why? Yeah.
You know, it's like Meet the Fockers, Bernie Focker.
Okay.
It's like a character you gotta love.
Okay.
And he's all around, all the stories I've heard of people that have worked with him,
mm-hmm.
is he's just the nicest guy in the world. Like, comes over, says hi to you every morning and all that. And
yeah, like, just like a genuine person.
Yeah, just like a genuine person. And
that's very cool.
He seems like he knows a lot and you could have a good conversation with him.
That's awesome, dude. Who's your favorite actress?
Actress.
Yes.
I got the classics of
okay.
Jessica and Jessica. Jessica Biel and Jessica Alba.
Mm.
My two favorite.
Yeah.
You feel me. Timberlake, he knows what he's going for.
Yeah. Timberlake, because he's the man.
Yeah.
Yes. Timberlake is definitely the man. That's cool. So who's, like, the, like, nicest person that you have met, like, in the, like, is there anybody you just, like, totally thought was going to be, like, an asswipe, and they ended up just being, like, a really cool-ass person, like, any just actors or anything? Or do you just kind of go into it with, like, an open mind, like, this guy might just...
You definitely go into it with Nick Cage. I thought he was going to just be, like, this guy that, like blows up on people all the time. Yeah. He's like, you fucking asshole, why are you here? And, yeah. And, he was the coolest guy ever on
wow.
like on and off screen. Like
yeah.
he would just be, he'd be there to do a job
mm-hmm.
and he did. And then he would like just be a very straightforward, like gentleman, like
that's
the whole
awesome.
Time. Did Never I? Like raised his voice or anything. And there's like the stories of him being like raging out on people for no reason.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you seen anybody do that at all? Have you seen any actors go wild? You
don't want to put not an, there, not an actor, but I've seen a director go wild.
Just go, oh,
because like
I'm sure that's stressful though.
There was
freaking director.
Yeah,
shit,
there was
go crazy dude.
The special effects guy was like fucking up this entire show, like
yeah.
just botching everything to where
Damn.
We set up all this shit to protect camera and all that. It's like, all right, the windows of this car are gonna blow out and da da da
yeah,
and all that,
yeah.
and they would start shooting. Dude would set it off and it would just like spiderweb the glass. And, like, not do anything close to what he said it was going to do.
Dude, just
And then even before that even happened, he had a misfire and it didn't go off at all. So he was like, all right, everybody stay away. It's still harmed. Like, I need to get in there and defuse it because it could go off at any point. And I was like, what the fuck is going on, dude?
Yeah. Director's like, it's guy.
And so the director that happened, it's just like he set off the charge and it spiderwebbed the glass. And the director's like, that's it? Like, you he just like this entire shoot he'd been fucking up, and it was like the last 2 days and he just went off. I was like, you are fucking ruining my movie. What the fuck do I even pay you for? It just like for like 10 straight minutes just going off on this guy at the top of his lungs.
That's awesome. And the film industry is probably so crazy.
I was just like walking out the stage and like laughing, like yeah, trying not like to like show and like, oh my god, it was the funniest thing in the world.
That is so awesome, dude. Who are some of your biggest influences in the film industry? Like, what I know you've always been, like, artistic. You've always... I remember, like, especially Jake's ass, always watching movies. But I remember, like, that's a thing you guys always did. You watched movies. So, like, who really influenced you in your art career overall? Because I consider being a filmmaker, like, an artist. It's the same shit. You create. So, who was it that triggered you?
The guy that got me into everything?
Yeah.
He was... he's actually a good friend of mine still. He, his name was Michael Caminetti.
Okay.
And he was the pastor's son at the church I went to at the time.
Shout out to church.
I was like,
I went there for a while.
Faith family.
Yeah, we had a good time there, man. A lot of good things happened in that place.
And I was the overzealous church kid at that point. Yep. And he was doing video and stuff, and he just kind of was like, "Hey, I need help. If you want to come learn it." And started doing smaller shoots with him and learned it and just started to appreciate like the style of shooting and the work that goes into it.
That's really cool because I was with you at that point. I was actually going to church with you. What day was it? What was our church day? Was it like Tuesday or Thursday?
It was Wednesday, I think.
Wednesday?
Yeah.
Yeah. Every day, every Wednesday we went to church. I went for about like 2 months straight.
Yeah.
We even got Josh Yeager to go with us that one time.
Yeah. I remember that.
We were spreading the peace and the love and the word of God God's awesome.
That he is.
So, that's cool. I was like with you and like got to kind of watch the beginning of that. I remember when you really first started getting into that, that was pretty cool. Around that time, we were kicking it in the best class of all time.
Mal's.
Shout out to Mal, man. When's the last time you saw Mal?
Since I graduated.
Damn. I saw Mal after that, but I think we all need to go see Mal.
He's probably retired by now.
Oh, he's super. I don't know, because people still talk about him. Like, I still see kids like talking about like how they talk to Mal and shit.
So. He was saying like he was going to retire on like Kaylee's class.
Right. My little sister doesn't even go to Elliot. Like, she's, like, homeschooled, so it's like...
Wow.
Like, right. Why don't you go kick it with Mal? I had it all set up so she could just go kick it with Mal. And she just totally fucked it up. I gave her, like...
Like, the best setup ever, like, and she just botches...
Like, I set up Mal on a silver platter for her, and she just kicked it away. But, yeah, Mal was one of the greatest people of all time. We had a lot of good times in Mal's class. You actually saved me from I almost didn't graduate. I wasn't the smartest person in school. I took the hard route in school. And basically, it came down to the wire to the point where if I didn't finish this, it was like a computer program, pretty much. It was like a... What was that called?
It was like the online class thing for...
Yeah, it was basically like some stupid ass... it was credit recovery. That's what it was called. It was some stupid ass shit. And I didn't do it. I didn't do a good job. I was super busy trying to catch up. I was doing night school and summer school. So I just got done with summer school. I started doing night school. And then they gave me this credit recovery class. And I just totally just didn't do it because I was busy as hell. So it came down to like the last 2 weeks of school. And they're like, okay, so you have everything done except this credit recovery. And if you don't do that, you're not going to graduate. Like, you have everything. You have great... Because my grades ended up actually being very good in high school. So they were like, you have everything except this one credit. So I was like, well, shit, I'm really busy right now. I'm trying to like pass with at least good grades to like finish this out because I still have to do that. And this man, Mikey Tell, was like, you know what? I got you. I'm going to do this whole credit recovery for you. And he did it in like 2 days, straight up like that.
Yeah, because it was like right near the end of the semester, and you're like, fuck, how am I going to get this done?
Yeah, I was just stressing. It's not like I was like, oh, Mikey, please help me. He saw me stressing, and he straight took it upon himself to graduate your boy. So shout out to Mikey Tell.
In Mal's class.
He did do it all in Mal's class because you didn't have to do shit. You were already like chilling, coasting your ass graduation. So you're like, ah, fuck it. Like if you were stressed too, you would have been like, ah. Senior year, that sucks.
Senior year was the only year I got a 4.0 just because I was like, yeah, once. Literally. I'll get it once.
Coasting. Yeah. So shout out to you. Thank you for that. I owe you so much for that. You showed me the way of God and then passed me high school. So thank you. And gave us our first
show gift.
That's awesome. I can't wait to get us. You'll be the first one to get a A&A MMA t-shirt. Can guarantee you that.
Nice.
You've been listening to any music lately?
I've been actually going back to my metal days.
Ooh, getting a little hardcore on them. Old school, long hair, head-banging Mikey Tell on them. What have you been listening to?
I've been Between the Buried and Me.
Nice.
They had a new album come out like 2 years ago, but I've just been kind of cycling back through new or old music that I really enjoyed.
That's cool. What do you you listen to it on your phone? What do you got? Android? How do you listen to music on your Android?
The Samsung S7 Edge. Mm-mm. It's the auxiliary cord into my phone.
Yeah, but like, do they just got like a music app, like a
Spotify?
Like I got like Apple Music.
I use Spotify.
Oh yeah, Spotify is dope. Like they're go listen to like just like their pre-made like channels they have are really cool. Like classic jazz and like
And then after you listen R&B. To so much, they make you your own playlist like to what you've been listening to.
Right, Apple just started doing that too, where like they just like know what music you want to listen to. Mm-hmm. And for the first time this week, I actually went to the playlist and found like 5 songs that I loved. I was like, ah,
nice.
I'm definitely gonna keep doing this.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's cool. Getting back to your old music ways, I dig that.
And then also the that Forest Hills album. J. Cole.
I saw him perform that whole entire album live. That was one of the best nights of my life. And some dude got knocked out and fell on my shoe. Like, my shoe, his head was going to smash on the concrete, and his head literally just banged on my shoe, bounced off my shoe. So I kind of almost saved a dude's life, because maybe he could have, like, had brain damage or something. So,
Yeah. Shout
out to my shoe for saving lives out here. I was just going so hard to like the album, and I just like had something bang on my foot, and I was just like, what was that? And I looked down, and some dude was just sleeping, and dude was like looking all angry, like he was trying to beef with me. I was like, oh, that's not my man's, like I was like, you know, whatever, just keep moving on. So dude like ran away or whatever. And then some girl behind me was like, is that your friend? I was like, no, my friends wouldn't get knocked out like that. And just like kept going to like the music. Like, yeah, it was super fun. So J. Cole, if you ever do get a chance to go see him, I definitely recommend doing that. I actually just got back from a music festival.
Down in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
How'd your first flight go?
It ended up going well, but
I can hear your voice quivering as you said that there.
It was just like really like nerve wracking. I didn't like it very much. I don't understand how people can just do that for a long time. Like,
it's just like it's a bus in the sky.
No, it's not.
Just sitting
so
in a chair,
scary, dude. Every time, like when they started tilting, like when they started like flying and like taking turns and stuff, I was just literally sitting there, like looking at Taylor, like, oh my goodness, this is wild. The craziest thing, though, was, like, the takeoff, because Taylor was, like, every time we kept going, like, around the turn, like, on the runway, I was like, oh, are we about to take off? Oh, are we about to take off? And Taylor's like, no, you'll know when we're about to take off. And I was like, oh. And I just thought, like, I wasn't expecting it. And then that bitch was just like, just took off.
Thrown back into your seat.
Like, oh. Like, Taylor said she wished she was recording me, because I was literally just shitting my pants, bro. But overall, it went well. The flight there, I was awake the whole time, and I didn't have a window seat. And I kind of, like, wasn't into it. I just, like, was listening to music. I was really excited to go to the festival.
Yeah.
And I got to the festival, and it was... Miami is freaking beautiful. A lot of people hate on Miami. Like, I would never live in Miami or anything like that. But it's a very dope city.
Yeah.
freaking scorching hot. I stayed at the Ritz-Carlton at Biscayne Bay, which is like the most baller shit I've ever done in my life.
Doing it right.
We walked in and they gave us some champagne. Like, we're from the, like, me and Chad, like, you know, we're like hoodlums. We're like,
yeah.
Oh, we're like, yeah, sure. They're like taking all of our bags. We're like, damn. We gotta pay you guys, like,
yeah, like, don't open that one, keep that one shut,
right? Exactly. Like, I actually had like the weed in my pocket. I was like, damn, maybe I shouldn't check in with the weed in my pocket. And I like stuffed it down in the bag, like, real quick. I was like, eh, this guy's probably not gonna say anything. But they were really cool, they no problems there. The Ritz-Carlton on Biscayne Bay gets 5 stars for me. I had a great time. I saw Migos, which was cool. I saw Future, I saw Kendrick perform some songs on his new album, which was amazing. That was one of my favorite performances. I saw my favorite artist of all time, Travis Scott, perform some songs on his new album. And basically, he's actually performing. That's why Slim's not here tonight. He's at the Travis Scott concert in Cleveland, and he's seeing pretty much the same show I just saw. So I really wanted to go to that, but then I was like, eh, I kind of just saw it.
Yeah.
So Slim's enjoying it right now, and it was a great concert. I also saw Lil Uzi Vert. I don't know if you're hip to him yet, but he put on a great performance. Lil Yachty had a great performance. I had a great time. It was cool. Flatbush Zombies, my favorite rap group of all time. I got to see them.
Nice.
Action Bronson, he has a great show on Viceland.
Yeah.
Fuck, That's Delicious. I got to got to see him perform. So yeah, that was really fun, man. Miami was super dope. I loved it. Have you gotten travel at all lately? Or you're stuck in Cleveland because that's where you're making movies?
Yeah, not lately. I have been down to North Carolina once for a couple things, and up to Michigan and New York. But
like New York City?
Yeah.
I have never been to New York City. Like, the only places I've ever gone really is like Florida and like Myrtle Beach for like senior trip, which I don't even remember. So like, that's cool or whatever. Oh, I went to Indiana to pick up my uncle from prison once, but I've never really gotten to go to like anywhere like
Breaking
out to California
with your uncle.
No, he wasn't a meth dealer, he robbed stuff. I want to go to New York really bad because like people hate on New York, but I think it'd be cool to like literally just go and like sleep in my car and then just get out and walk around New York and like go eat pizza and shit for like 3 days and then just drive back home.
Yeah, like, that'd be cool.
Like, I just think that'd be like a cool thing to do in New York, like go shopping. And I'm not really like trying to get a, I'm sure hotels are there probably expensive, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so probably a little bit, because anything to rent there, like a one bedroom in like the hood, is $1,500 for rent.
Yeah, then
like anywhere like decent is like 22 to 25.
Yeah, no, I'm cool. I'm just gonna sleep in my car for a couple of days. I'm gonna eat all your guys' pizza and then I'm gonna go home. Might see Yankee Stadium. We'll see.
But, so are you the New York thin slice guy instead of the deep dish?
See, I'm not a very preferential person because I think it's terrible to discriminate against other types of pizza. I think you should love all pizzas equally. But the other day, you ever had Danny Boy's?
Yeah.
Dog. I had the I can't even think of what it was called, but it was like a pizza pie, and it was deep dish, okay? So, like, it had the pepperoni, and then it had the sauce on top, and, like, there were so many pepperonis. It was just, like, the best texture pizza, and, like, the crust was so amazing.
Yeah.
Chicago style, bro.
No, it was deep dish.
That's what they do in Chicago.
Mm.
Yeah.
But it was...
Been there.
All right, well, it was Chicago style... deep dish pizza pie, and it was the bomb diggity. So I think right now I'm kind of in more like a
deep dish
type mood. Oh, also, if you ever go to the Brick Oven Pub over on Canton Road, like across the street from like Ritzman and the Shell gas station.
Yeah.
Dude, their pizzas are amazing. They literally have a brick oven, and they just have a bunch of wood back there.
Nice.
And they just fry. They make their own beer there also. They have like a nice little brewery. Yeah.
Nice.
It's a nice little place to go. They got they serve like, what are those called where you get like four little like different types of beers?
Oh, like a little sampler?
Yeah.
Like a paddle?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's, yeah, a paddle. Yeah, exactly. And they have like, they brew all their beers there and stuff. They have a bunch of different flavors, and then they make amazing pizzas, and they have a lot of good sides and stuff. So I definitely recommend going there if you're feeling the deep dish.
Okay. I've normally been like a Sbarro, like thin slice guy, like the giant thin slice.
Do you like fold yours?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
You gotta load it up with red pepper flake.
Oh, yes. See, I'm a hot fiend. Fiend for anything hot. So I'm definitely a crushed red pepper on my pizza type guy. Dude, Taylor, I'm so over this. Every time we go to order pizza, she says, let's put pineapple on it, okay? I am totally fine. I'm not against people putting pineapple on their pizza, but I'm not trying to have a pineapple on my pizza every single time I eat pizza, okay?
That's whack. I'm one of the people that likes watermelon on their pizza.
Whoa, watermelon?
No,
pineapple. That sounds... You might have just came on to something.
Stumbled on something there.
I'm going to try that tonight.
I'm a pineapple guy. So, like, I get it, but I also got to split it up.
He's kind of doing too much, you know what I'm saying?
It gets monotonous after a while. It's just like, really? This again? Like,
right, exactly.
Can we get, like, sausage instead this time?
You want to give anybody any shout-outs? I guess you're kind of on a platform where you can shout people out. Got anybody you want to give a shout-out to?
Nobody really comes to mind.
Yeah, so shout out to you, nobody.
My boy, Kiros, Josh Kiros.
Yeah.
Buddy with me. Just got into 600 a couple months ago for the camera union.
That's cool. Shout out to him. Making big moves with my mans, Mikey Tell.
Oh, yeah.
Any upcoming projects or anything you want to tell us about? Anything you want to promote while you can?
That torso movie. It's coming to Cleveland.
Sick.
So that
sounds very interesting. Are you gonna be like at the premiere and like? Is there gonna be like a big premiere and all that?
Hopefully, it'd be nice. But
that's like a thing you gotta.
It's like a $146 million budget movie, so it's like massive.
Wow.
And the prop master on this McConaughey movie already put my name in with the prop master for that movie, and he's like, this guy, if he calls you, he's like the best prop master in the U.S. right now.
Wow.
Like, this is the dude. So that one's coming up.
That's amazing. And that is so cool.
There was also talks of a Spielberg movie coming.
Oh!
Based in Columbus.
If you get on the Spielberg movie, and if you... dude, if I will pay you... Oh, my God. I can't even tell you what I'd give you for a Steven Spielberg autograph or something. You're not allowed to do that. But if he, like, accidentally, like, signed something, and, like, you just ripped it and ran with it...
It's like a receipt. I was going out to get something.
Like... Or, like, if Steven Spielberg puts in an order for a pizza, you make sure you're like, oh, okay, I'll get it. And, like, when he signs that shit, rip it off, and I will give you a good amount of money for that. That'd be so dope. That'd be cool. What's, the lowest budget you've ever had on a movie? What's the least amount of money you ever made a movie with?
Tier Zero. We only had, like, $100,000, like, $75,000.
And, is that like really low budget for like a movie?
That's like ultra low. Like you're barely getting anything.
Damn.
And it was out of a van, basically, for the production company that was doing it.
Was it a good movie?
No. It was not a good movie at all.
No.
It's on Hulu though.
Okay, I might have to check that out.
Rotor DR1.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's sick. What's the most money you've ever had on a movie? What's the most tricked out shit you've ever seen? Fast 8. For sure.
Because there's just Lambo after Lambo after Corvette after Corvette after Bentley. Oh, like, dude. All lined up, all torn to pieces.
And you got...
completely gutted. Doors ripped off, seats pulled out, engines pulled out. Like, just because cosmetic damage they couldn't repair and they had to get another one out there. And it was just like a beautiful million-dollar car, like graveyard.
That's funny because when I had to work around the time, I'm sure you guys were recording that, I was actually doing roofing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really shitty job. I was working at a shit plant out in Cleveland, and every day I drove past this like graveyard, like car graveyard, and there were cars exactly like what you're saying. Like there was this just lime green Lambo that was sitting right in the front. And I was just sitting there like, oh my good God. Like, why is this beautiful car just sitting here? And you probably
threw it off the side of the building.
Yeah, ended up just smashing it into something like 2 months later. So
we literally just like tossed them off of a parking garage.
Didn't you like post something on what was that, Instagram or something?
Where I did.
A car was just like flying out of a freaking parking garage.
Yeah, it was the aftermath.
You guys just destroyed a parking garage?
We basically set up, we closed off a street in Cleveland and set up to rig all these platforms to throw cars off the side just straight onto the street.
And straight so, onto the street. And yeah. Cleveland just approves this.
Because they paid him enough money.
That's why I don't
understand. Oh my. As long as you have enough money and a permit, you can do basically almost anything you
want. Oh my goodness. Wow, that is so awesome.
And it's a lot cheaper to do that and actually doable to do that in Cleveland.
If I'm ever just balling, I might just do that. Just drive some nice-ass cars out of a fucking parking garage in Cleveland, like, just smashing shit.
It's gonna have to have a lot of forms to do it, though.
Oh, I'm sure. Wow. So, I'm sure they take a lot of precautions when shit like that is happening, obviously. Yeah.
And they also had a like super low-flying helicopter like weaving in between buildings.
Oh, man. Whoa.
For half their shots.
Holy shit.
Because out in Costa Rica, I think, is where they were. It was one of the, like, Bahama area islands. And they basically had a shot of a big crowd of people, like, cheering as, like, this race was starting. And literally, like, their hands were just, like, 2 or 3 inches from the bottom of the feet of the helicopter as the camera helicopter was going by.
Probably, like, getting blown around, like... That's sick, dude.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. So you've gotten to meet a lot of cool people in your new profession. So you're happy with what you're doing for sure. This is the Mikey Toe career.
This is the move.
This is the move. This is it. Yeah. That's dope, man.
It's ruined me from like a normal job because like it's shitty that we have like this really weird schedule and like an average day is like a 12 to 15 hour day.
But
and like it's like. Everybody would normally look at that and be like, why the fuck would you do that much for just to make movies? And then you have like those people doing 9-to-5s, like at a desk job. And I'm like, how the fuck do you do that every
day?
Yeah,
exactly. Like, this is how my whole goal in life is I start a new job tomorrow. And my goal is to learn to love this job because I've only had like a couple jobs out of my like 10 jobs I've ever had that I actually loved.
Yeah.
I just didn't make enough money there. At this job, I can definitely make enough money to support myself, and I'm going to hopefully learn to love it, because I feel like that's the goal in life, is to do exactly what you love, so that's super awesome. You found exactly what you want to do, and just know you got some support over here at MMA, A&A MMA, and Lousy Weather Media. We all support you, so.
Nice.
Thank you, Mikey Tell. Appreciated. Thank you, Mikey Tell, for everything. Thank you for our first show gift. Actually, our sponsor. We have one sponsor currently.
Really?
His name is Ray Roberts Modeling.
Okay.
He has a little modeling industry, and he brought us some shirts. So he's super cool. He's actually a comedian. He's a really funny guy.
Nice.
He had $10 burning a hole in his pocket, so he decided to spend it on us.
I'm assuming Slim talked him into that one.
I don't know what he was thinking, but if you ever want to just give us $10 and say you got an industry or something, we got you, bro. All
right. I'll keep you guys in mind.
Shout out to you, Mikey Tell. Thank you for your time. Thank you for coming through. Thank you for your, I'm sorry. I'm listening. We got a
some intense wrestling.
Our next podcast coming on. They're going crazy in the other room. So we got some stuff going on in the Lousy Weather Media studio.
It's like Batista is on or some shit.
Damn, they had like a throwback match. That's why they're going crazy. Damn, are you rewinding it?
Yeah, he just dropped this dude
right on his neck.
Oh, dude.
All right, well, me and Mikey are going to go... enjoy some wrestling maybe for a minute. I know Mikey's hungry, so we're gonna go ahead and wrap it up. We'd like to give a shout out to our sponsor, who is, I don't know, Ray Roberts.
Yeah, Ray Roberts
out here putting on models. I mean, if you aren't wearing a shirt and you got a 40 ounce in your hand, send that dude a pic. He'll put you on, get you a little endorsement one day maybe or something,
a little money on the side.
I like to always thank our mothership, Lousy Weather Media, for giving us a format to, you know, bore you guys to sleep or let you guys ride to work and
not have the same sound playing.
I don't even know. Yeah, I don't even know what we're producing. We only had like 90 listens last week, so kind of spread us, guys. I mean, I don't know. Just click us a couple times, give us a couple extra listens, just to, I don't know, spread some love. We'll appreciate it. Do I have any more shout-outs? Shout-out to my mother, because I love you. Shout-out to my cat, Bejo. You're
Slim,
awesome.
Your co-host?
Nope. Slim can eat a dick, because last week he was a total jerk talking about me on my episode, so Slim can eat my ass. That's how I feel.
Sorry, Slim.
Yeah. Our family has a new puppy. His name's Corleone. He's really cute. Shout-out to him. Shout-out to my two huskies. Shout-out to Sean Ast, who had a good day at work, it seems, today, because he's in a pretty good mood. So, yeah, that was episode 7.5, Monty's Interlude, featuring Mikey Tell. Thanks, guys.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.